to fit the moment, to fit the need. Could you imagine if God was that way with different people? Shift and be this way for this person over here, and then shift and be this way. No. You know what? God is the way that he is. He's not a chameleon. He's not changing all the time. He is the way that he is. And guess what? His kingdom is the way that it is. You can take and go with me, if you would, please, to three passages of Scripture. I won't necessarily spend a lot of time on these, but in the process of our search for the kingdom of God, for the kingdom of heaven, I'd like to point us in a very good direction. And then I just want to say this. I run across people who have things going on in their lives. Tough situation, hard circumstances, people whom they love that they're praying for, and where they want God's best for them. I would just like to share with you this morning, and I know this just to be true, what I'm talking about in this series, when put into practice in an individual's life, will bring the kingdom of heaven into that individual's life in a greater and greater way. And something I used to do, and I still do it, when I counsel with people, and I'm thinking about a particular couple, not from Custer even, who I counseled a number of years ago. And one of the things I'll often tell people is this when I'm counseling them. First thing we have to agree upon is this: you will do what we talk about. You will do the stuff that I give you to do. And if you're not going to do it, tell me right now. I won't waste your time, and you don't waste my time. Okay? And we agree upon it right up front. Because really, as a minister, one of the greater things that I have to give is truth. And give people insight and understanding and things to apply to their lives, so their lives get to be more the way they would like them to be and more the way God would like them to be. But if it's undone, then it's undone. Make sense? And how many of you know the same thing's true of preaching? It's getting quiet in this Presbyterian church. No, I'm kidding. This one couple, and they did really good, and God did miracles for them. But I noticed after a period of time, we'd come right back around to some of the very first things. We had done a complete circle. They had done as much as they were going to do of what I had shared with them. And it was really, really good in their lives, but they hit a point where they stopped. And it was really interesting because they showed up for counseling, and we were both at the same place. They were like, okay, this is where we stop. Thank God for all that he did in their lives, but you know what? He had more that he wanted to do. But they had hit the point, well, this is as much as they were going to do. And when you hit that point, you can't go beyond it. How many of you have ever wished some people would go beyond a certain point where they, you know, this point that they stop at? You ever wish people would just keep moving? Amen. Hallelujah. So, my exhortation, man, I promise you from the Word of God, that as these truths are applied by you in your life, you will not only produce fruit, you will have more fruit of the kingdom of heaven in your life. And you will find this will happen to you. You will find people coming to you and searching out wisdom and help because they will see what's going on in your life. Did you know in high school, nobody was coming to me for heavenly advice? Nobody was coming to me for any advice whatsoever, basically. They might come to me to get some drugs, but I mean, they weren't coming to me for beneficial things. And a crazy thing happened. I got born again. Fell in love with God and fell in love with the Word. And then I heard about the Holy Spirit. Wow. And now people actually call me and say, hey, Pastor, why is that? It's because of God. It's because of his Word. It's because of the working of the Holy Spirit. And that's what he wants for all of us to do. You know how I often hear the Word, or when I often listen into messages? I don't do this all the time, but often I do it. How can I use this to share with someone else? That just burns inside of me. When I hear teaching, when I read my Bible, it's how can I use this to bless somebody else? And I would love for that to be just a core thing that we all have in this church. Because God's word will work in my life, and what he wants it to do is work through our lives into other people's lives. Just like that tree produces fruit, shoots out large branches, the birds of the air come and rest in its shade. Do you know there are people out there looking for a place to rest? And we can provide it for them more and more and more. Amen? Hallelujah. So how many of you are glad you're here today? Praise God. Amen. What you looking for? Did you know most people are looking for something? And do you know a lot of people are looking for something and they don't know what they're looking for? They're looking for happiness. How about that old country song? Looking for love in all the wrong places. Usually I sound better than that today, but anyway, all right. Here, let's just... These verses of Scripture, Mark chapter 1, verse 14, Mark chapter 1, verse 14. If you want to just make a note of it, I want to just keep moving. Mark chapter 1, verse 14. Now, after John, that's the Baptist, was put in prison, Jesus came to Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom. After John was put in prison, Jesus came to Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom. What you looking for? What did Jesus preach? The gospel of the kingdom. Luke 16:16 says this, the law and the prophets were until John the Baptist. The law and the prophets were until John. What did you have before John the Baptist? The law and the prophets. Something happened. Pretty important time. The law and the prophets were until John. Since that time, the kingdom of God has been preached, and everyone is pressing into it. After that time, you know what? We have what a lot of people are looking for. Isn't that amazing? And they don't even know what they're looking for, yet we have it. Oh, I'd love to present it in a way that it's attractive to them. Oh, wow. But sadly, aspects of the church world have not presented the kingdom of God in a very good manner. You know, I think we have another shot at something. What stands a good possibility of being a big political issue this next coming presidential election? Abortion. And can we please, as a church, and I'm not just talking about us, but can we please also remember the woman? Can we remember the lady? Because backing up when this was a big political issue years ago, I don't know that the church world did a very good job at presenting the love of God. They threw out a lot of condemnation. And folks, wow, I am so leaving my notes. It's ridiculous to expect people who don't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior to live like they do. When I didn't know Jesus as my Lord and Savior, to expect me to act like a Christian was crazy. Because I didn't have the wherewithal in me to live that way. And I don't know about you, but sometimes even with the wherewithal in the ability to live that way in me now, I still fall short. And yet the church world would heap condemnation on people who don't know Jesus even. Why don't we let the goodness of God flow through us, which leads people to repentance? Amen? It's not my place to condemn. It's not our place to condemn. And there's a lot of ladies that will never darken the door of a church because of how they were treated by Christians. Amen? Let's pray. And let's purpose in our heart, I'm going to do a better job. I'm going to be better at listening. I'm going to be better at understanding. I'm going to be better at hearing what's going on in that person's life. Amen? And then, you know what? Abortion is wrong every time. It's just simply wrong every time. Amen? But let's do a better job. Amen? Okay, back to my notes. The law and the prophets were until John. Since that time, the kingdom of God has been preached. Acts 20:25. And indeed, now I know that you all among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God. What did Paul preach? The kingdom of God. In our search, in our seeking first the kingdom of God, the best place that we can start, the best place that we can look is right here in the Gospels. Amen? What you looking for? I'm looking for the kingdom of God. I look right here. I look at what Jesus preached. I look at what Paul preached. I look at what the others preached. And I realize that in here, in God's word, is his kingdom. This verse of scripture, I like this one a lot. Matthew 16:19. I believe I quoted it last week. Matthew 16:19. I'm going to flip over there and read it real fast. Matthew 16:19. Oh, you know, I did it again. You guys, I'm sorry. How many of you are headed towards Matthew 16:19? And that's right. That's right. Matthew 16:19. Where's Matthew 16:19 in my Bible? There it is. Yay. No, that is not right. I'm glad you guys are entertained. I'm not very happy with me right now. Do I want a different Bible? Actually, no. I want to sit down and take a break and somebody else take over. That's what I do. Oh, man. You know what it is? Let's back up to Matthew 13. Let's see if that works better. Let's try that. Oh, that's a whole lot better. I hate it when I put things in my notes wrong. Matthew 13:16. That was really funny, though, Diana. Classic. Matthew 13:19. And you know what this is? How many of you got a little marker above verse 18 in your Bible? What's it say he's talking about here? What is this that I turn to? The parable of the sower explained. Last week, we looked at the sower and the soil, and we're going to go back there here in just a bit, but I think it's really interesting that this is, and I just love the way it's worded. Verse 19, Matthew 13. When anyone hears what? The word of what? The kingdom. The word of the kingdom. All right, Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. For in our search of seeking first the kingdom of God, where are we going to go? Where are you going to turn? And to have more of the kingdom of God, where are you going to go? Where are you going to look? You know, think about the old miners when they would dig for gold. Do you think they looked for clues and different things like, well, you're going to find gold in this type of rock, or you're going to find gold here. They just, you know, maybe some of them just aimlessly went out and looked. But, man, it's nice to have something pointing you in the right direction. Go to the Word. Go to the Word. And the other thing in going to the Word is invite the Holy Spirit to help you. Amen? Because all Scripture is given by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And it's profitable. And it's profitable. He'll lead and guide us into all truth. He's our teacher. All right. Mark. Got two passages of Scripture. Mark 4, starting at verse 30 again. And he said to them, to what shall we liken the kingdom of God, or with what parable shall we picture it? It is like a mustard seed, which when it is sown on the ground is smaller than all the seeds of the earth. What is this seed? Small. Well, yeah, it's the word, but it's also small. Everybody say small. Do we sometimes not get impressed with small things? Sometimes we're just not impressed with small things. Sometimes if we're not careful, we overlook small things. Yeah, I'll give this testimony since I'm so all over the place anyway. Might as well just keep going. Friday, I got blessed. I found myself praising God Friday into Saturday during worship. It came up today. Just praising God. Gabriel and Charity, as you guys know, they have a fifth wheel camper that they rent out in the summertime as an Airbnb. And it makes them money that they can use to help do missions and different things like that. And Diana and I get to do the work on this end. They planned it so well. They move to Australia, have a camper here, and say, Mom and Dad, run it. They are good business people, I tell you what. Wow. So anyway, we needed to move the camper. And we needed to move it last week. How much snow did we have last week? Isaac was trying to get his cabin out, trying to get the... It's just crazy and all that snow. Thank God for Jeff Johnson, because he came out with his wrecker on Friday. Would have never got it into its spot, but he hooked onto his wrecker and towed the camper in a pickup backwards uphill. Thank you, Jeff. Would have not got there without him. Then, when I got to looking, the water hookup and the electric hookup were both different. You couldn't just plug them in and, tighten the holes. You had to work on both of them. Well, I know nothing about electrical stuff. A little bit about plumbing, but nothing about electrical. Get all the stuff I done that I can do in the morning, and then I come to town. Do a few more things in town, and then I go over to Freeman Electric. And Tom happens to be in there, and I took pictures of what I'm dealing with. Because I got this kind of a plug-in and this kind of a plug-in on a cord, and they're not going to match. And Tom starts looking at it, and he's thinking, and da-da-da-da-da. And the next thing you know, he pulls out a box that I'll need. And then he hooks three wires up to it. And then he's going to give me instruction what to do out there. And I'm like, I'm done. And he could sense that. And then he says, why don't I just go out there and look at it for you? Hallelujah. I said, that's awesome. I got to go get some parts from the plumbing. I hope that's simple. Where's Brian Carrico? He's not here today. Brian Carrico sent me out of the lumber yard with one part. It was simple. One part. Put it on, it hooked up. Tom was out there. It's really a good thing, and I am so thankful to God, because it was wired for 220. And if I would have tried plugging it into what was there, I needed 110. Would have fried stuff. But I'm so grateful to God because he had all of those people at the right place at the right time. And I am so thankful because Gabe and Charity have guests in that camper yesterday evening. And it's our responsibility to get it done. How many of you know God is good and don't overlook those little things? Man, don't overlook the little things in your life. This seed, it's smaller than all the seeds. It is like a mustard seed, which when it is sown on the ground is smaller than all the seeds of the earth. Notice verse 32. But when it is sown, it grows up. What's it do? It grows up. Where does the word get sown? In your heart and in my heart. I got really excited a number of years ago on a Wednesday night because something just popped out of this verse at me when I was preaching. And I ended up saying this, if you'll sow it, God will grow it. If you'll sow it, God will grow it. Turn and look at someone and say, I'll sow it and God will grow it. If you'll sow it, God will grow it. When it is sown, it grows up. Part of what I am is I'm a sower. I'm sowing God's word right now. I hope you will receive this word, this seed into your heart, and know God will grow it. When you sow it, God will grow it. But when it is sown, it grows up and becomes greater than all the herbs and shoots out large branches so that the birds of the air may nest under its shade. Now head with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Oh, isn't that a great sound? Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Oh, I went to 2 Corinthians and it was the wrong verse, and I'm so thankful that I have it right. I just went to the wrong verse, praise God. I didn't want to do that twice in one sermon. Oh, hallelujah. Don't stress. Who said that for me? Thank you. Amen. Notice this here, verse 5. Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos? But ministers through whom you believe, as the Lord gave to each one. Watch this. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. I love that verse of scripture. Because like, how many of you like to see how things work? I like to see how things work. I like the truth, because you shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. How many of you know you can take the truth and just keep applying it? I don't know how many times I've applied 2 plus 2. 10 times 10. I just keep applying that truth. It works, man. You can take the truth of God's word. How many of you know the Bible says that God watches over his word and he performs it? Guys, you want to get excited? Wow. God watches over his word and does what? Performs it. When it is sown, it grows. Paul planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. How many of you are ready for some increase? You're sitting in a spot where you have increase. Increase of what? Increase of the kingdom of heaven. Increase of joy. Increase of peace. Increase of love. Increase of mercy. That is what is available in here for each and every one of us. I personally get excited about it because I can look into my future and know what there is. You know what there is? Increase. What's in your future? Increase. Is everything I said true? Does God watch over his word and perform it? When we sow it and when it gets watered, God's going to do what? He's going to grow it. He's going to cause it to increase. It's going to produce more. I personally like more. And do any of us in here think that we have taken God to the limits of what he has? We haven't even come close, have we? Praise God. Hallelujah. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither he who plants is anything nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I thank you, Father, so much. I thank you, Father, so much for this. God causes the growth. Go back with me, and I'm going to wind this thing down. Go back to Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. We doing okay today? Okay. Thank you for helping me. Because like I told you at the beginning of this, I needed it. I don't know why, but I needed it. Actually, I have an inkling of an idea why. I don't believe that there's a devil behind every bush. I'm not one of those people. I just don't believe that. Sometimes you get around people and they get really stupid when it comes to Satan. And they give him way too much credit. They give him way too much credit. I really like what Bill Johnson said. I can't afford to be impressed with the devil. But at the same token, you better know your enemy. You know, Paul said, but I fear lest as the serpent deceived Eve with his craftiness, so your mind should be led astray from the simplicity and purity of devotion that is in Christ. Amen. Can we let both sides of the coin operate at the same time? I am not impressed with Satan. How many of you are impressed with him? But I am not ignorant of his schemes. And I know in Jesus' name I have authority over him. How many of you know in Jesus' name you have authority over the devil? What's the number one thing he has? Lies. He's got lies. What makes a lie? Well, let me back up. What is a lie? Here's a dictionary definition of a lie. A lie is a false statement known to be false by the person who makes it. That is what a lie is. It is a false statement known to be false by the person who makes it. Do you know what Satan is the father of? All lies. So if there's a lie going around out there, guess who the father of it is? Satan. Oh, I'm not going to do it. I want to go down a rabbit trail, and I'm not going to do it. Okay? But a lie is a false statement known to be false by the person who makes it. So how false is a lie? Is there any truth in a lie whatsoever? No. Can lies be powerful? Even though everything about them is false, they can have power. What gives a lie power? One thing. If we believe in it. If we believe in it, it has a lie. I just love this pink paint. This is so beautiful. That's my favorite shade of pink. What impact is this shade of me calling this a shade of pink having on you? Are any of you impressed with this shade of pink? Are any of you buying that this is a shade of pink? Are any of you starting to wonder about me? You've had a lot of reasons for it this morning. And I'm just going on to another one. This is not pink. And so my calling it pink, my lying, has no impact on you. Because you know the truth. When we know the truth, Satan's lies cannot have an impact on us. But does that mean he doesn't try? He tries. And I'm pretty sure of this. He does not want us to get greater revelation and greater understanding. I believe we already have revelation. I believe you guys already have revelation about what I'm talking about. But he doesn't want there to be greater revelation. He doesn't want there to be more. You know what? Do you think of Paulus? When Paul went and preached the word, Apollos came along, what did he preach? The word. Do you think he ever had any hindrances? You think the enemy ever came against him and threw some thoughts into his mind and tried to get him to doubt? Have any of you in here ever heard me preach this before? I'm just curious. If you've heard me preach on this before, raise your hand, please. My life is a tree. Yes, you have. Yeah, that title. Before that. I'm just curious, because have you ever heard me teach on Mark chapter 4 before? Yeah, because I go to Mark chapter 4 a lot. I go here a lot. You got notes. Amen. Thank you, Jan. I was about to have something I preach on a lot, and people are going, no, Pastor, I can't remember you ever preaching on that. I better do a better job. Oh, no. But I'm convinced of this. This is where I was trying to get to. Moms, maybe dads, how many times have you ever cooked the same meal? Have you ever wondered if your children wanted to eat that meal again? How many different ways have you tried to cook chicken? But do you know what I found out? Sometimes some of those good, solid, basic meals, they're so appreciated. I'll bet you there's a lot of moms in here. You've had this happen. Your children are older. They're in college. And they come back. And maybe they bring some of their friends back. We've had this happen. But I remember it's happened with Gabe. And it's happened with Brianna. And maybe some of the other ones. But Diana cooks a dish called shepherd's pie. How many of you out there cook shepherd's pie? You know what the request often is when the children bring their friends home? Mom, can you cook shepherd's pie? And you know what? It's a pretty basic meal. It's got ground up cooked hamburger in it. It's got green beans or French beans. It's got cream of mushroom soup. Is that the right kind of soup? Cream of chicken soup. See, chicken's got to be in everything anyway. Cream of chicken soup. And then Diana puts mashed potatoes on top. Butter and salt and pepper, and you're good to go. Yeah. Amen. And then every once in a while, now she started adding sour cream to that right under the mashed potatoes. Or no. Sour cream? Okay. Right underneath the mashed potatoes. Oh, and then a few years ago, somebody said, well, why don't you try putting sweet potatoes on top of that? Yeah. Let's pray and head to lunch. But we're going to do something next week. This is a series, and it's going to keep going on. Best place to seek the kingdom of God and to look for it is right in His Word. And friends, I want to promise you, and I can promise you this because God says it in His Word, when you sow His Word in your heart and it gets watered, He'll increase it. He'll increase it. I got a couple of things in closing here. I've run across a lot of people who say, well, I don't understand the Bible. Has anybody in here ever said, I don't understand the Bible? Okay. And you know what a lot of people do when they don't understand it? They give up. They quit. They set it aside. At the first part, next week, we're going to talk about planting a garden spot. Planting a garden spot. And one of the first things I'm going to talk about is this, is that you are a garden spot. Turn and look at somebody and say, I am a beautiful garden spot. Come on, a little bit bolder, a little bit bolder. You men can say that. I mean, how many of you can see the kingdom of God growing out of your life? How many of you can see that? Well, wouldn't that be beautiful? Glory to God. Yeah. But Brian and I were talking about this yesterday. Years ago, he said this was the thing that helped him radically. This was the thing that made it easier for him to receive Jesus Christ. And Brian, if you can fill in any details that I leave out with this, please do. But when you don't understand something, you know what a lot of people have a tendency to do? They'll start arguing with God. They'll start arguing with God. Well, I don't understand. And I said this, quit arguing. Quit arguing with God. Agree. Let me just give you something. Just agree with the Word of God, even if you don't understand it. Even when you don't, I don't understand it, God, but I agree. I agree. I think that's what Mary did. When the angel told her that she was going to bring forth a son, you know, I don't think she understood it. I don't think she got it, how it all was going to happen. You know, I just like, and that's why she goes, be it unto me according to your word. You said so? Okay, it's good. You know, if we'll have that mindset towards the Word of God, even in things that we don't understand, or even when our feelings scream at us otherwise. Our feelings will scream at us that we're not forgiven. But you know what? We are. We are. Are feelings real? Yeah. Are they always right? No. So you know what? Feelings need to be dealt with. Deal with feelings with the truth. This is truth. This is truth. God, I don't understand it. How many of you understand all of this book? Yeah, that hand went down quick, didn't it? I don't understand all of this book. And yet I am standing up here in front of you preaching about it. You know what I did, what I shared when I first got born again? I just had this zeal to go tell people about God and tell people about Jesus. You know what verse I knew? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. I don't know how many times I quoted that one verse of Scripture to how many different people in the first 5-6 months that I was a Christian. I understand a lot more than that now. A whole lot more than that now. But I certainly don't understand everything. Don't let the fact that you don't understand something stop you. and get you to give up. Amen. Like I've said many times, I don't understand how a microwave works. I still use it. I don't understand how an automatic transmission works, but I still use it. And you know what? I don't have to understand it. I am not going to be fixing one. Get someone else to do that now. Amen? Hallelujah. How many of you in here have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? You know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you are born again. You are born again. Can I just look around again? You know, whether it's a hand or a finger or whatever it is, you know, somebody doing this going, yeah, Pastor, I'm born again. I know Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. Amen. As I was looking around, basically what I could see is every hand went up. Praise God. Praise God.